Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where at the outset, our guest, yours and mine, Charlie and Linda Bloom, want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. And that's what it's going to be about. Making the day a very, very happy one, not just for the moment, though, but whether it's happy now and you're going to make it happier, or maybe it's not as happy as you like and you want to get there. You want to get to a place of happiness. That's what today's discussion is all about. Love Unlimited Orchestra is helping us with a song entitled Rhapsody in White. And I want you all to say hello to Charlie and Linda Bloom. They have been working with couples for quite some time. They are both licensed masters of social work professionals who have been working with marriage and family therapy for quite some time. They are well-written, having put together a number of books, including ebooks. Keep that in mind, everyone, that have helped so many for so long. Charlie and Linda Bloom, how are you both doing?
I'm doing great, Carl, and I'm happy to be on your show.
It's great to be here, Carl.
I tell you what, it is truly a pleasure, and thank you both again for getting with me to help everybody on Happy Valentine's Day. And by the way, Happy Valentine's Day to the both of you.
Thank you. I love to celebrate the whole season.
I love it. Well, we're going to be talking about love, and, you know, I thought we would really get right into it. But first, before we begin to talk about connections and how to make them, would the two of you just spend just a little bit of time sharing more about your lives, your professions, and what has brought you to the point where you have spent a number of decades working with not only families, but particularly with couples?
Well, it became my specialty when Charlie and I went through a very difficult time, and it looked like it was likely that we were going to break our marriage up and that the family would split up. But man, with dogged determination and some lessons in patience, and we got some good help during that time, our breakdown became a breakthrough instead of a breakup. And there's a saying in our field that you look to your wound to find your gift. And I realized when we came through that dark passage that I had learned so much about how to keep a relationship above water when it looks like it's going to drown. And so we wrote a course and we offered it, and people came, and then people in other cities around the country, would you bring that to us? And I realized that we were onto something that was really important, that couples, they need to develop communication skills and conflict management skills and negotiation skills and really grow up and mature themselves and cultivate qualities of courage and patience and resilience. And so that's what brought me to this specialty, and I'm really enjoying it.
Two things that you mentioned that really grabbed my attention. One, the breakdown became a breakthrough, and the importance of looking at the wound in order to find the gift.
Yes, and so many people go through struggles of all kinds. Sometimes it's a illness, you know, or an injury, and then out of that difficulty, maybe it's a financial setback or a professional setback or one of your kids in trouble. But out of that dark passage, people can become so acutely attuned and aware to what's needed to move through it, not to be broken down and ground down by it, but to come through stronger on the other side. And I think if people really get that the suffering is not in vain, that there is meaning in the suffering, you can become, you know, if you're not going to use it professionally, just in your family life and in your friendship, you can use your own difficulty to really assist other people when they're going through their hard times.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all got to stay with us because we're going to hear more about that as we go through today's discussion. How about you, Charlie?
Yes. I agree with everything Linda just said. One of the secrets of great relationships is to really focus on the positive and not to ignore things that maybe can be difficult or problematic, but to not allow them to dominate your view of things. And it's very easy for couples to get into patterns where they tend to notice the things that aren't working or the grievances, and they tend to give more attention to those things and those aspects of the relationship than they do the gifts and the blessings of the relationship. So, you know, one of the things that we try to help people to do is just to develop a more balanced perspective. There's no relationship out there, or there's no person out there with whom you're going to have an absolutely effortless, non-challenging, at times, relationship. I mean, because we're all different, and we all tend to attract people who are different from us. The reason for that is because if you attracted people who were just like you, there wouldn't be any impetus for growth or development, because you would just kind of be reaffirming each other all the time, which would be comfortable, but there's a difference between having a comfortable relationship and having a dynamic, growthful relationship. And what we have experienced is that when you can learn how to create a growth orientation in your relationship, then the quality of your life improves exponentially. Your life is no longer boring or flat or dull or unimaginative, but you're living on the edge, and that's very compelling. And that's kind of what, when people begin to experience the excitement of living that kind of a life and realizing that, you know, they don't have to settle for a life that's based on routine and repetition, but they can really start operating outside of the box, it enhances not only their life, but the lives of everybody with whom they're in relationship with. And of course, the partner is going to be the main beneficiary of that growth. So that's what we try to help people to see, that you don't have to settle for a merely good relationship. I mean, everybody wants a good relationship, and that's fine. And a lot of people would be really happy to have a good relationship, one in which we get along with each other, you know, we don't argue too much, you know, we feel generally secure, comfortable, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But when you get to that level, don't kid yourself into thinking that's as good as it gets. We want people to begin to see, but there's more, and here's what the more can feel like. Here's what it can look like.
I love that, and I appreciate that, because so many relationships have people, the couples are involved, and some of them are at the extreme where, at one extreme end, where they hate the relationship, they're miserable in the relationship. You have some who are just tolerating it, some who are saying, hey, yeah, this is a good relationship, and then probably the minority is my guess, who are at that stage that the two of you are discussing, where they consider their relationship truly wonderful.
And you're so absolutely right, Carl. It is a small group, and we're in the business of trying to encourage people to reach higher. There's a popular notion out there of lower your expectations so you won't be so disappointed.
Yes.
And I feel like that's so short-sighted. I think that it's okay to have a grand expectation for the delight and the aliveness in your relationship, as long as you've got intentionality and commitment to match it. So you can't expect your partner to bring you happiness on a tray. You know, you take responsibility. That's what mature people do. They take responsibility for designing a vision of what they want their relationship to be, and then they roll up their sleeves and use their good work ethic to contribute to having that happen. And it generally will inspire your partner to roll up their sleeves and work with you because you start to get some enjoyment, do you know, some feeling of aliveness, feelings of well-being. So you're not afraid to bring up the tough subjects and, you know, wrestle with the tough subjects because you see that with a spirit of goodwill, you can break through to some kind of an understanding, might not be agreement, but understanding where both of you can feel enlivened in the relationship. So we're always talking when we do our counseling intensives and our workshops about going for the gold. Reach high. Let your imagination be big.
I love that. And something that is so clear as I listen to both of you early in this conversation, early in this discussion, is that we want to go for the gold, but we don't expect the gold to just happen. Both partners are going to have to, as you mentioned, apply some effort. This is all about working to get where we want to get.
That's probably the bottom line, what you're saying right now. And that's not necessarily what people want to hear. And there's quite a few people out there who are offering their words of wisdom and workshops and books, and what they're offering is what I would call an effort risk-free possibility of creating the relationship of your dreams. It's not possible. It requires the willingness to really pay the prices that have to be paid in order to earn, and you have to earn it. Nobody's going to give it to you. Even if you know you're a smart person, even if you've had good relationships in your life, there's no way that you can get to that level of optimizing your relationship without paying the prices that mean putting the time in, being willing to be wrong, making the relationship a high priority, taking risks, being vulnerable. I mean, there's a whole list of requirements that it takes to get to an optimal level of connection. And the thing is that it can be daunting, you know, to look at that and say, geez, I don't know if I'm up for that. You know, sometimes we talk to people about that and they go, well, you know, I think I'll stick with just having a mediocre relationship. I think, you know, that I don't want to go through all that. But the thing they don't realize is, first of all, that although, like any other challenge that you take on, like any other skill that you want to cultivate, it is difficult at first, and a lot of people quit before they get through the first stage. Wow. But if you can hang in there, not only will you get more competent, but the process gets easier.
Mm-hmm.
The more you learn, the easier it gets, until you get to a point where you're just naturally doing these things, just like brushing your teeth in the morning. You know, you don't think about, oh man, do I have to, you know, I gotta get the squeeze the toothpaste out of the container, and then I gotta, you know, oh, I don't want to brush my teeth. That's so hard. And but the thing is, you know, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit to do all the right things. But at first, it is going to be, you know, it's going to feel like it's a steep trajectory.
I imagine that one of the things that makes that a steep trajectory has to do with something that you all mentioned a little earlier, the fact that we're all different. And so
yeah.
It's just because I imagine that it's sometimes challenging for couples to get to a point where both partners are trying to get to a place where this becomes just natural for them to be moving in the direction of making the relationship a beautiful one, a majestic one, a golden one, an extremely fulfilling one. I imagine that they're moving sometimes at different paces, and it may take a while longer for one to get on board than for the other to get on board.
You're absolutely right. We work with couples where there's usually one who's so enthusiastic about personal growth, and they want to attend the therapy, and they want to come to the workshops, and they want to read the books and do the exercises in the books, and the other person is not so enthusiastic. We call that the mixed marriage. You know, back in the day, the mixed marriage was two different religions or two different races.
Yes.
But what we're seeing now is the mixed marriage where one person is just really passionate about personal growth and the other person not so much. So there is more responsibility for the person who has really got some fire in the belly to do this work, to be an invitation, to not get controlling or demanding or make threats or anything like that, but just to do the work themselves, to keep their eye on themselves, to keep their attention on themselves, and do their own work. And when the other partner notices that they're living with more peace of mind, more well-being, and they're happier, they're more centered, they're more grounded, they're more generous of spirit, that often is contagious to them. And then they decide they want to participate more fully, not just bring the body to the counseling session.
So for the person who's ready to get out of that starting gate, as soon as you hear what needs to be done, don't give up, because your partner is slow to come. They'll get out of that starting gate sooner or later, in most cases,
yep,
if not all. Our guests, Linda and Charlie Bloom, they're helping us understand how to experience happiness, not only on Valentine's Day, but throughout the year. Every year. Stay with us. We'll be right back.